President-elect Donald Trump has nominated former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue to be the next Secretary of Agriculture. He'll need confirmation from senators, and we will follow that. But right now, we want to take a listen to some extended clips of the hearings going on today and this week, starting with Trump's nominee for Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow asked Mnuchin about gaps in his financial disclosures.
In an effort to get the committee information early, we submitted a preliminary questionnaire prior to us having the 278 form finished and prior to signing the agreement with the ethics office. So let me first say, any oversight, it was unintentional. You did mention that there was $100 million of real estate. I was advised by my lawyer that we didn't need to disclose that on the questionnaire because it didn't need to be disclosed on the 278. There was some confusion about the complexity. We worked tirelessly with the committee staff, and I want to thank all the staff. I know they worked very, very long hours. As I said, they were extremely thorough. I appreciate their work. We delivered over 5,000 pages, and I can assure you they actually read all those 5,000 pages because when I had the opportunity to meet with the staff, with my lawyers and accountants, we answered some very specific questions.
Excuse me, Mr. Mnuchin, I don't want to interrupt. I have very limited time, and actually, and I appreciate that the additional information and the clarification and all that. But my question goes to what you were actually disclosing, and particularly the Cayman Islands. I mean, did you use the Cayman Island Corporation to avoid paying taxes? Would you support closing tax loopholes that very wealthy people have consistently used in the Cayman Islands to avoid paying taxes? That really is my question.
Well, let me just be clear again. I did not use a Cayman Island entity in any way to avoid taxes for myself. I paid U.S. taxes on all that income, okay? So there was no benefit to me from the Cayman entity. As I said, the Cayman entity was set up to accommodate nonprofit and pension funds that want to invest through offshore and a certain number
of
offshore.
So you helped others avoid paying taxes.
Again, I'm not going to make a comment. Again, they didn't avoid. They followed the law. Because I have experience as a hedge fund manager, I am committed to tax simplification. I think it makes no sense that we would encourage hedge fund managers to set up entities in the Cayman Islands or Anguilla or anywhere else, where, as you've pointed out, I didn't have any physical people. This is not like there are people who set up offshore businesses and put all their people offshore, and you've heard of inversions and those types of things, you know, are perfectly legal and hurt the American workers. In the hedge fund world, these are all just set up to make the accountants rich, and I would look to work with the IRS to close these tax issues that make no sense and make sure that we're collecting the proper amount of taxes.
So you would support closing those loopholes?
I would support changing the tax laws to make sure that they're simpler and more effective. Yes.
That sound from today. Yesterday, Nikki Haley faced questions from senators. She's the South Carolina governor Trump has tapped to represent the U.S. at the United Nations. Here's Haley and Democratic Senator Ben Cardin.
Speak to me about Mr. Putin and Russia.
Well, thank you, Senator Cardin, for that question. And I think that Russia is going to continue to be at the forefront of a lot of issues that we have to deal with. What I'll tell you is Russia is trying to show their muscle right now. It is what they do. And I think we always have to be cautious. I don't think that we can trust them. I think that we have to make sure that we try and see what we can get from them before we give to them. They certainly have done some terrible atrocities when you look at things in Syria and how they are working with Iran. And I think that we have to continue to be very strong back and show them what this new administration is going to be. And it is going to be an America that shows exactly where we stand, what we are for, what we are against, and how we're going to proceed. And I think that we need to let them know we are not okay with what happened in Ukraine and Crimea and what is happening in Syria. But we're also going to tell them that we do need their help with ISIS and with some other threats that we all share that we have to move forward.
Does Russia have legitimacy in Crimea?
I don't think that, I think when, what we saw with Crimea and Ukraine is a big concern, because I think it is Russia trying to make sure that they are inserting themselves in places that they want to continue to insert themselves. The problem is there is no boundaries with Russia. They don't have boundaries. They consider that whatever they want, they will. It's the same thing with NATO. They don't want to see NATO become stronger or more powerful.
But EU and the United States have made it clear they will never recognize Russia's incursion into Crimea. Do you agree that Russia, that Crimea is Ukraine, it's not Russia?
I do, and I think that we have to make that very clear to them, and I think that's what we have to show is our disappointment in those things.
Well, meanwhile, Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth asked Scott Pruitt, Trump's nominee to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, about the Renewable Fuel Standards Program, or RFS, which aims to expand the production of biofuels.
For those of us who have fought to strengthen national security by lessening our country's dangerous dependence on foreign oil, I'm really incredibly concerned about the future of the RFS and American-produced biofuels under a Scott Pruitt-led EPA. And I'm also incredibly concerned about what you're going to do in terms of protecting the environment. In your answer to one of my colleagues about what the role of the EPA is, what is the job of the EPA, one of the first questions you got, you spent 5 minutes talking before you actually said, protect the environment. You talked all about reducing EPA's influence over states for a good 5 minutes before you actually got to the environment. And then for my farmers, my corn and soybean producers, for my biofuel industry, the RFS is critical in order to continue that. And I would rather burn American-made, American-grown corn and soybean in my gas tank than I would oil from the Middle East. I've already been to a war fought over oil in the Middle East, and I don't intend to allow us to continue to do that, which is why the RFS is so critical, not just for the jobs in Illinois, not just to support Illinois agriculture, but for our national security when it comes to where we're going to get our energy supply. I'm out of time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth.
If I may. Senator, let me say to you, the role of the administrator of the EPA is to enforce and administer the RFS program to carry out the objectives of that statute. Those targets that have been put in that statute by this body need to be respected. The discretion authority, the waiver authority of the administrator needs to be judiciously used to address those concerns that we've talked about. And so I don't want you to have any concern about the intent, objective, or will, if confirmed, of carrying out the RFS mandate or the statute in whole.
That very answer concerns me because you've not actually said that you're going to stick with it.
Yesterday, the Senate also questioned Trump's nominee for Commerce Secretary, billionaire investor Wilbur Ross. Indiana Republican Todd Young asked Ross about tariffs and free trade.
Can you reassure the tens of thousands of Hoosiers, auto workers, and others whose jobs rely on free trade that their livelihoods will not be put at risk by restrictive tariffs which might interrupt these global supply chains?
Well, as I've said quite often publicly, I think the best way to deal with the trade deficit is increased exports. I think that's the A number one priority. B number two is to get the Toyotas and other companies like that to build their factories here so that workers do have not only continued employment, but enhanced employment. And I think with the right tax policies, regulatory policies, and other policies, we can accomplish that.
What is your goal with respect to tariff policies as you consult with others in the administration?
Well,
for there to be no interruption to those Hoosiers, tens of thousands who are currently employed in the auto industry and other industries who rely upon global supply chains.
Oh, I well understand that. Having been part of it,
yes,
I very well understand it. Tariffs do have a useful role. They do have a useful role in correcting inappropriate practices. They also do have a useful role as a negotiating tool. I'm keenly aware of Smoot-Hawley and the effect that it had on trade in general and our trade in particular. And if there's nothing else, we can learn from history that that kind of approach didn't work very well. And it didn't work very well then, and it very likely wouldn't work very well now.
Some of the exchanges from Senate confirmation hearings for President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominations. We'll keep following all of them